Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
53 at KCI, it's 55 up in Happy Rock, and 56 degrees here at your official weather station. I'm Dan Weinbaum, News 98.1 KMBZ.
This is new Shinedown that just dropped today. It is so good. Story here from the Associated Press. Britain's Royal Mint is celebrating Freddie Mercury with a new coin design that marks 40 years since his iconic Live Aid concert performance. The coin features an image of the Queen frontman, head thrown back, holding the microphone mid-performance. The first coin was struck by Mercury's sister, Kashmira Bulsara, at the Royal Mint in Wales last week. Mercury died at the age of 45 in 1991, one day after he publicly announced that he was HIV positive. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
1991.
Yep.
Wow.
34 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He died the same day as Eric Carr, the drummer from Kiss.
Hmm.
They died. It was kind
of. Is there any story that you cannot tie back to worthless music knowledge?
No.
Here we go.
Who died the same day as Michael Jackson?
Farrah Fawcett.
Farrah Fawcett.
I do believe. Yep. Your ability to recall 80s rock music trivia is startling.
So is yours when it comes to serial killers.
Oh, without question. Which, by the way, let's just have this out right now.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
The best new show on stream, one of the most critically acclaimed shows to hit stream in decades by the brilliant Vince Gilligan, Pluribus.
Do we have to have this conversation?
Is absolutely outstanding. It is a run, do not walk.
It is.
And Scott tried it with tea last night, and it was not, let's just say, you did not give it enough time. And it was not your cup of tea.
I think he gave it enough time. It's just...
We gave it 45 minutes.
It was like a 50-minute long show.
What did I say when I called you last night?
I said, hello, because we were in the car, and Scott doesn't normally call me at that hour.
It was 7:45.
How much bail do you need?
What's wrong? And he goes, that was absolutely terrible. We shut it off. That's an hour of my life I'm never getting back.
That's exactly what I said.
I'll ride the fence between y'all. It's not the greatest show that's ever been made, and it's also not terrible.
It's so good.
It's really good, it's not for everyone.
It's going to win every award. That being said.
Oh, I have something to tell you.
Okay, wait.
As soon as you're done.
As soon as I'm done, okay. and there will be a point to this. If you might be so kind as to pull the trailer, Kramer, for a movie that Scott swore to me would be incredible, that we too spent our time watching, and that's 2.5 hours of our life we will never get back. Starring Idris Elba.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful actor.
Yes.
Idris Elba in No Good Deed. It is a thriller. There are multiple shows called No Good Deed. This is the one starring Idris Elba. Ladies, let me just lay something on my ladies for one moment. In the first 15 minutes, I knew what was going on. The first 15 minutes, that show is going to be viewed completely differently, clearly, from a man who watches it and a woman, and here's why. Idris Elba plays an escaped convict. He's very attractive, ladies. We know this. He's been GQ's like most handsome man of the year 10 times. A woman is home alone with her nursing baby and a four-year-old. A mom. She is home alone in the rain with a nursing baby and a four-year-old. The doorbell rings.
Are you going to give the entire plot away?
Idris Elba on the other side of the door who says,
well, the movie came out in 2014.
Ma'am, there's been a wreck. Can I use your phone? Now, ladies, can I get an amen? I looked at Johnny and I go, there is not a woman in the world who is alone at home during a thunderstorm, nursing a baby with a four-year-old that is going to help a stranger at the door who says, can I just come in for a minute and use your phone? I go, turn it off. I'm out.
Okay, so you didn't finish the movie.
We did finish it. Do you know how ridiculous? There must have been a bunch of men sitting around a table that wrote this thing. They could have figured out any different way for him to get into the house. But ringing the doorbell. Oh, by the way, Dan, she's a former prosecutor. Worked the homicide unit.
Of course.
And she just goes, come on in, Idris Elba. You're so handsome. I'm sure you're not going to kill me.
There's a little more to it than that.
I looked at Johnny and I go, this is the dumbest movie I have ever seen in my entire life.
It's an hour and 24 minutes.
It's a short ass movie.
Do you need the no good deed of 2024 or 2014?
2014.
I believe it's 2014. It doesn't even matter because a woman in 2014, a woman in 1800, a woman in 2096 is not going to let a strange man in during a thunderstorm with a nursing baby in bed and one child at your breast, one child that won't go to bed. And I don't care if it's Idris Elba. I don't care if it's George Clooney. I ain't letting you in my house.
Okay.
See, we like what we like, and there's certain types of art in cinema and other places that we gravitate towards and enjoy the stories and the telling of it.
Other people
don't like it.
And then she goes, just wait right here. I'm going to go put my toddler down to bed. I go, are we in the Twilight Zone?
Okay, so I have a confession to make to you. After I called you at 7:45 and I said, that is terrible. That is an hour of my life I'm never getting back. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, come on. And I'm like, no, Dana, that is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. Pluribus, which means one in Latin, I believe. As soon as I got off the phone with you, I immediately called Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, whatever you're doing, don't do it.
You movie blocked me?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I did. Sam goes, what are you talking about? I said, this Pluribus that Dana will not shut up about on the radio. Do not watch it. It is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
That's a worse move than movie shaming.
Worse than Strange Man at the Door in a Thunderstorm with a child at your breast and a toddler that can't go, and your husband's out of town, and you just go,
give away the
rest.
You
know what, Idris Elba, just come on in and make yourself at home. The knives are right there.
Pluribus actually is Latin for many.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, here's the trailer.
You're right, unum is one. Unum is one.
Ooh, there's a car chase.
Couple car chases.
Oh, there's violence in the man.
All right, enough.
Just come on in my house. Come on in.
That's her husband, not the murderer. Okay, my God, you're going to give me a headache.
I'm going to tell you this. You might think as a man, erroneously, by the way, that because Idris Elba is so good looking with that shirt and he's drenched in rain, that any woman would be like, well, I mean, like, he can't be an escaped convict serial killer. I will only remind you how handsome Ted Bundy was until his hands were around your throat, Scott. You know better than this.
I agree.
You wouldn't let anyone in, maybe save your own mother, if they came to your door and said, can I come inside?
During that scene in the movie, I did say, oh, give me a break. Mm-hmm. That is one part of the movie. That is the one part of the movie that I didn't like. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
What I didn't like about Pluribus is when everybody in the hospital is catatonic and then all of a sudden come back to life.
It's a virus, Scott.
Well, it's also science fiction. So, you know, there's going to be some
fiction. Dan, yeah. It's more likely that a virus infects the entire globe, save for six people in pluribus, than a woman lets a strange man in nursing a baby and with a toddler upstairs when she's home
Merciful
alone.
Come
Jesus.
On in. Check the fridge. I'll be right back.
Way more likely.
All right. When we get back, opposition to the idea of a Royals ballpark in Overland Park. Where is it coming from?
Not in my backyard, baby.
Neighbors. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dan in Parks.
It is time to plan your holiday gathering at my happy place, Rose Hill Gardens. Uncork the holidays at Rose Hill Winery, tucked away in the festive beauty of Rose Hill Gardens. It is the perfect place to celebrate the season. Live music, handcrafted wines from around the world, craft beers and spirits inside the chic converted greenhouse. Or you can warm up around all their fire pits just outside in the new pavilion. It is open year-round, everybody. Thursday through Saturday from 2 to 10 p.m. Live music. It is a great date night and an even better place for your holiday party. Now accepting holiday party reservations. Plan your holiday escape at rosehillwinebar.com. rosehillwinebar.com. Rose Hill Winery, where great wine and good times light up the season.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, story here from Fox 4. Homeowners associations on the eastern edge of Overland Park are coming out against the idea of a Kansas City Royals stadium going in at the northwest corner of 119th and Knoll. In May, the Royals announced an affiliate of theirs had bought the mortgage on the old Sprint campus, now known as Asperia. Hawthorne View, I think that's a neighborhood, Hawthorne View's just about a mile southeast of 119th and Knoll, and less than a 20-minute walk from the intersection of 119th and Knoll. Their HOA president, Jeff Hurt, telling Fox 4 that he hopes city council members pay attention to how the homeowners in his area feel about this issue. Quoting here from Mr. Hurt, "Frankly, I have not heard one individual be in favor of it. I've had no one in my neighborhood say that. Now we're going to have our HOA annual meeting tomorrow night, and I'm going to ask. I will say, hey, if you're in favor, tell me why. Convince me." Hurt was giving his personal opinion on the matter at his home because of the upcoming gathering. Quoting here again from Mr. Hurt, "But I will tell you, over the course of the last 4 or 5 or 6 months, I've had at least 15 people in our little neighborhood of 69 homes say, no way, Jose. I'm sorry, we just don't want it. I've had no one say this would be a great thing for our neighborhood." Mark Kelly is the president of the Hawthorne Place Homes Association. He has 81 houses in his HOA, and he is leading the fight against the stadium going in at 119th and Knoll.
The only thing that surprises me about this story is that we're just now hearing people fight about it. I thought the not in my backyard would have started a month ago or more with this. And to be clear, we don't even know where it's going.
No, we don't.
If it's going.
Well, it's going somewhere. I don't think the Royals are staying at the Truman Sports Complex.
I agree with you, but I don't know that. Do you organize, mobilize, and dig in your heels for a fight now? When I think that space is the longest shot. Don't you?
Not anymore. No.
Really?
Mm-mm. I think that's where it's going to go. I really do.
For people who say traffic will be a nightmare,
it will.
Yeah, on game days, there's going to be more traffic.
There's 81 of them.
Why would you think it would be bad for property values? Any more than the Legends was bad for property values out
but see, the
west
Legends,
or the...
Well, but no, not necessarily, because the Legends wasn't bad, you know, with the Speedway and Sporting and all that. Nebraska Furniture Mart, you name it. It wasn't bad for property values because there was no property out there. It was basically...
they didn't steal and pay eminent domain.
Well, but keep in mind, you know, when they engaged in eminent domain, what was it? God, was that 20 years ago? My goodness. When they started the eminent domain, these were small, one-story, three-bedroom homes that sat on a lot of property,
yeah.
Right? And I'm not a huge fan of eminent domain, but I can understand why Wyandotte County did it out there by the Legends. But everybody else who has built a home out by the Legends, and neighborhoods are going up around the Legends,
yes.
They're doing it knowing that they're right next to the Legends.
Here's the other thing, because I used to live right over there. The 119th corridor. And
when you
now
say, when you say over there, you mean down south.
Yeah, the 119th corridor, both east and west and then north and south, is an explosion of commercialism already.
Well, you have town center
down
there.
It's town center. And even when you go west of there, there's so much going on. Restaurants, shops. It is literally the commercial epicenter of Leawood and Overland Park.
You literally left out Corporate Woods.
Well, that's further.
It's farther to the west.
And north. But I don't think that this is going to be that much different. I really don't. Even if I still lived out there, I wouldn't think it would be that much different.
Opening to, and I don't care where the Royals go. I think the best option would, quite frankly, if they have to move, would be the Legends. But if it's opening day in late March, early April, whatever, mm-hmm. and you have a home not far from the site of this ballpark, right?
Sure.
And we've got 45,000 people, so we're looking at probably 15,000 to 18,000 cars,
yep.
Depending on how many people are in each car. They're going to have to run that traffic going in,
yes.
And then leaving in one direction
that's,
only.
That's why I think the town center site is the least likely site, because at the Legends, the infrastructure is already there. The way in and out, we just went to the American Royal with our friends at UMB Wealth Management mm-hmm. out there.
Mm-hmm.
The way in and out is already
super simple,
already established. If they put this next to town center, they're going to have to reroute roads in and out.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to figure out what this means for Menorah Medical Center right there.
Great point.
On the southwest corner. You know, what does that mean for ambulance traffic?
For any emergency traffic. I'm trying to get my wife to Menorah because she's in labor.
I just don't think it's practical in the way that the Legends location is practical.
For the life of me, and I know that we have both teams on a sister station here in the building, I'm not convinced that there's anything wrong with the Truman Sports Complex. I've been to Royals games this past season, several, in fact. We go to Chiefs games.
If you want a house exactly the way you want it, do you, for the same cost, do you go to the hardware store and spend months and months cobbling together something on the property you already have, or do you start over and build it exactly the way you want it? That's what people have to ask themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Most people would say, start it over and build it exactly the way you want it.
Okay, then if one were to leave the Truman Sports Complex, I would argue it should be the Chiefs.
Absolutely.
And they should go to the Legends.
Go to the Legends and put a roof on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I love that.
Because honest to God, I still believe Kauffman Stadium is one of the most beautiful ballparks in
beautiful.
Major League Baseball.
It's beautiful.
It is accessible. It's easy. It's beautiful. I'm not convinced that there's anything wrong with Kauffman Stadium.
Have you seen the insides of it?
Yeah, of course. I've been in the inside.
I mean, like the depths of it. There's some foundation problems.
Yeah.
Like there truly
them.
Is.
So you can
only fix it so many times.
Look at like your house. Look at it like your house. If you want new, bigger, brighter, better, you want to attract more revenue, do you keep putting a Band-Aid on what we have, or do you start over? And I think most, even architects would tell you with no skin in this game, you start over.
All right, so fine. Yes, I've been in the underbelly of Kauffman because I'm not bragging here. I've had to throw out and catch the first pitch 5 times in my life.
Nice.
So I've been in the girth, if you will, of Kauffman Stadium. If what you're saying, Kramer, is true, and you know it's got structural problems and foundational problems, here's what I'm saying. I like the idea of there being some sort of entertainment district out at the Truman Sports Complex, right? I like that idea. I think it's perfectly feasible. It's not feasible when you only have 9, 10, including postseason and maybe preseason, 9 right. or 10 football games a year.
Good point.
It is feasible if you have 81 baseball games a year.
Correct.
And so what I'm saying is, there's already activity out at the Legends, okay? I'm not convinced that if the Chiefs stay at the Truman Sports Complex and they create an entertainment district, that people are going to go to 435 and I-70 with nothing else going on. But if you move the Chiefs out to the Legends, where you still have the Monarchs, you still have the Speedway, you still have Sporting.
You have all the restaurants.
With their 18 games a season. And, of course, all the restaurants and other attractions, Great Wolf Lodge, Nebraska Furniture Mart, et cetera, the Chiefs don't need an entertainment district. It's already been built. Now, would they be able to draw any profit off of that? Probably not. They'd have to build an entertainment district around their own stadium. But leave the Royals out at Truman and put the Chiefs out at Legends. And then if there is a problem with Kauffman Stadium, then build a new one where the current Arrowhead is. Man, I just solved a major problem in Kansas City.
Thank you. That was so easy.
You're welcome. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Park.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So United Airlines has asked a federal judge to dismiss a proposed class action lawsuit arguing that passengers were unfairly charged for window seats without actual windows. Mm-hmm. Instead, United Airlines is arguing that window refers to the position of the seat in the row, not your potential view.
Oh, give me a break. Would you like to describe the definition of window, sir?
They're saying that window, if you're on the left, is 3 in. If you're on the right, is 3 in. You're not guaranteed a window in the window seat.
No, but by that argument, every single seat is a window seat. Except the one over the wing.
No, because we all know what the seats are called. Aisle seat, middle seat,
yes.
Window seat.
Yes.
And so if you request or pay for a window seat, you're getting the one farthest away from the aisle. You're not necessarily getting one with a view. I've been in a seat on a plane where
it's cockamamie. We're like,
because the aisles of seats don't align with the number of windows.
Correct.
Per se.
Correct.
And there was one flight I distinctly remember being on where there was a window that was wedged right next to the seat back in front of me.
Yeah.
And one wedged in the seat back behind me.
You just got a plastic wall next to your head.
And if I wanted to look out the window, I would have to lean forward.
Okay. There are two reasons people request window seats. Number one, to sleep and lean up against next to it. That's it. That's probably reason number one. Yeah. I want to sleep and I want to lean next to the wall. Mm-hmm. Number two is you are a control freak. And when you are flying, you have got to be able to see. See when it's lifting, see when it's coming down.
That's me.
An anxiety flyer tends to like to see.
I want to see when we're about to hit the ground.
Yes, and if I'm not in a window, it does bother me if everyone closes the windows. I'm like, I would like to see when we're about to touch down.
Mm-hmm. Well, as the director of useless information for Jerk Air. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, of course.
We could just change the name of the seat instead of a window seat. Mm-hmm. We call it a bulkhead seat.
Bulkhead? That's a terrible
bulk
name, Dan.
Bulkhead.
Yeah, the wall.
Why don't we just call it a wall seat?
Yeah.
Because we're on a plane. So you call it a bulkhead.
I've never heard that term in my entire life, Dan. There's aisle, there's middle. No one wants the middle seat.
No, God, no.
And then there's window. I'm sorry, but I sort of understand what they're saying. It means you're next to the wall. It doesn't necessarily mean you can turn to your right or left and look outside.
Dan's right. It is.
Good
it's
Lord.
Used in vessels and in aircraft.
Okay.
It's called the wall of a vessel or the wall of a plane. Mm-hmm. Is called, I'm sad to admit, the bulkhead.
Okay.
Dan, do you ever sit in at
spuddle.
Home?
Do you ever sit and spuddle, Dan?
His life is spuddling.
All the time.
He's a spuddler.
A lot of work. Not really doing anything. A lot of work.
Okay. Look busy, people. Look busy. All right, one of my favorite stories of the day that's funny, not funny. Some guy buys a storage unit. Like the people forgot to pay, stopped paying, whatever. And, you know, from time to time, they auction those things off. And you have a 1 in a billion chance there's something interesting inside that isn't old moldy clothing and furniture that's not worth crap. So they go to open this storage unit in Colorado. And there's something very valuable inside. In fact, there is something inside of that unit worth $1.7 million. Dollars. But it was illegal drugs, and who owns it now, Scott?
Well, I would presume the sheriff's department.
Can you imagine the dude that pays $400 to see what's behind mystery door number 215, and you go to open it, and there's this little bit of a chemical-y smell, not sure what's going on in there. And they were, by the way, wrapped in boxes, like big, heavy tubs of boxes, because the sheriff's department took photos. It is bajillions of dollars worth of illicit drugs.
But are you suggesting that the person who bought it owns it?
I'm asking, you do when you get a storage unit, okay, and you open it, and there is something illegal inside of it? Or you go to an estate sale and you buy a safe and there's something, like, I would be worried that the cartel was coming after me.
So this is in Douglas County, Colorado. The biggest city is Castle Rock, if you're familiar with Colorado.
Okay.
And of course, the person who, you know, paid the $200, $300, $400, whatever it is.
Does the DEA give you $1.7 million?
Probably not. But you're no more responsible for that than if you bought a storage locker, opened it up, and there was a dead body. You're not guilty of murder. Somebody else put the dead body in there. It's now their job, them being the sheriff and the DEA or whomever, to figure out who it was. So if you open the storage locker and it says here there were 1.7 million counterfeit fentanyl pills.
Yeah.
In an auction off storage locker, that's up to the DEA now to figure out who put those pills in there.
Okay, so speaking of, they know, because storage units take records and such. Do you want to know why the rightful owner of said storage unit was not paying, was delinquent, if you will?
Because he overdosed on his own stuff?
Nope.
I could guess he was in prison.
The registered owner of the storage unit is already in federal custody as the seizure is connected with an ongoing DEA and Colorado Bureau of Investigation case. He's already like a drug kingpin person.
Good.
The scariest thing about this.
Not good that he's a kingpin, but.
And, you know. Man, remind your kids about this. The counterfeit pills, 1.7 million, right? And it's mm-hmm. boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of them, were fake medications that contained fentanyl that were stamped to look nearly identical to real prescriptions like Xanax and Adderall.
That's how they do it nowadays.
So you think if you're buying pills off the street, you're getting Xanax or you're getting Adderall, what you're really getting is a trip to the morgue because it's fentanyl.
You know, I remember when we were younger, every once in a while you would hear about like a rock star dying of a heroin overdose, right? And I was so deathly afraid of hard drugs, you know, cocaine, acid, definitely heroin, I think, and crack in the late 80s, that even if I had ever seen it, and I never did, I never saw heroin, I've never seen crack, whatever, I would run from that like I was running from an axe murderer. I do not understand why people are willing to take a chance.
Today especially.
Yes.
You would run like Nancy Reagan yelling, just say no.
With pills. I mean, I just don't get it.
They're calling this a shocking discovery, by the way, and I don't agree. I don't agree that this discovery is shocking at all. If you are in that high-level drug trade and you are trying to store and or hide your product, what better place than a storage unit? And then, so then you've got to ask yourself, Scott, how many of those storage units are holding things that, you know, you don't even want to know what's going on in the unit next door to yours. You've got grandma's quilts.
The climate-controlled ones.
Well, and keep this in mind. Where did they find several of John E. Robinson's victims? In a storage unit, I believe in Raymore.
A lot of the treasure trove of their stuff was certainly in some of those storage units.
Yes.
Do they have the right, as a storage unit owner, to inspect your unit?
Ooh, that's a hell of a good question.
I think only if there's some type of police activity and a search warrant. I think
the answer is no, Dan, because
ask, don't tell.
When we left, you know, we just got rid of a storage unit. Johnny took the lock with him. And I go, do you have to turn that in? And he goes, no, you have to provide your own lock.
Mm-hmm.
That's why in Storage Wars, which I think is the biggest fake show ever, I really do, I think they found one or two things over the years that had something in it. And then they filmed like tens of thousands of things where it's like, well, it's just Nana's doilies again.
What's a doily?
But in store, you know, the little things you put a candy dish on, crocheted.
Okay. All right. A quick Google search says that they cannot enter without any notice unless it's an emergency.
It's an emergency. What emergency would there be in a storage unit?
Fire, flood,
somebody knocking, let me out.
Somebody knocking.
Hello? God.
Well, I mean, seriously, if not to be morbid, but if you're a serial killer, Johnny Robinson, a storage facility is actually a pretty brilliant place to hide your victims.
And they're everywhere.
My God, they are. I pass three just on the way to work every day.
There's one right around the corner.
Right over here by the Quick Trip.
What was it that Sam said yesterday? There are more storage unit facilities, not individual garages. There are more storage
than there are Subways, McDonald's, and Taco Bell's combined.
That is the craziest statistic I have ever heard in my life.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Let's go to Steve in St. Joe. Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to let y'all know, years ago in another state, I had rented a storage unit. And that place, it might be state law, but they had a big sign that said, we reserve the right to have the sheriffs come through with their canine cops and walk through the public areas.
Oh! But
that belongs to the storage unit owner.
And if the dog pings on something inside your unit, then what? They go get a search warrant?
I would imagine so.
Huh. In the public area, so they couldn't go... Well, I guess if you own the building...
Right outside the door.
If you own the building, you could say... Police, come on in, do what you want with your drug dogs, right?
Theoretically, yeah. As long as you would have to get, I'm not a lawyer, but my guess would be, educated guess, you would have to get a warrant to cut somebody's lock. You can't just go in there.
Well, if the dogs just start going nuts in front of one specific storage unit.
Go get a warrant.
Remember those ne'er-do-wells that stole all of my mom and dad's stuff and held it hostage for 3 months? Mm-hmm. Put all of their stuff in a storage unit here in Kansas City whilst trying to tell my parents it was, quote, on the way to Mississippi.
Yeah, and that was called breaking the law.
Oh, yeah. No, they broke the law.
That's called bribery.
They were so dumb. Well, thank God they were so dumb. They sent a photo, like proof of life of my mom's stuff, of this storage unit full of the stuff. They just sent a photo. And they go, look, here's your stuff. It's fine. We still have it. We'll be there when we get there, you know, 3 months later.
So,
do you know that I clicked on that photo?
This is exactly how you cracked
the case. And the latitude and the longitude, it had stamped where the photo was. So my mom
pinged it to East Kansas City.
My mom calls Kansas City police and she goes, my daughter just found our stolen, held hostage, storage stuff. I don't want to say U-Haul stuff because it wasn't a U-Haul. It's right here. And here's the deal. When you take a photo, it is stamped within like a foot.
Mm-hmm.
The metric that somehow
I remember when you cracked the case,
it is right there. And I'm like, this is right where it is. And it's in one of those westoreyourcrap.com, right? And the police say to her, you want us to just walk over to a storage unit, open it up and give you your stuff back. And my mom says,
yes.
And they go, well, how do you know that's where it is? And she was trying to explain it. She said, the photograph shows it. And one of the officers said to her, a photograph doesn't do that. She goes, sir, we have the latitude and the longitude to my stuff. And if I have to go stand there myself, and what ended up happening is we contacted the owner of the storage unit and said all of our stolen stuff is right here.
I think you're right. Let me look just to check.
I think you have to push, you have to click the photo, don't you, Kramer?
Yes. And like it shows up like all the details on it once you load that photo on your phone. And the latitude longitude is definitely on it.
Where it is, where that's one of the reasons they solved, oh my God, that horrible murder down in the Murdaugh murder. Remember he ended up being on his son's cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I wasn't there.
What'd he say?
And then they got into his cell phone and they were like, actually, you were there. You were right there.
What was it like? I forget the answer to this. I know I've asked you this before. When they finally came down to Mississippi and dropped off your mom's stuff, that had to be a little awkward.
Well, she had the sheriff's department there and two deputies because these people clearly were career grifters.
Did your mom tip?
No, she actually did not tip, Scott.
Did she provide pizza and soda for lunch?
No, she did
not.
Movers?
You're always supposed to provide like a lunch and soda for the
movers. I do think she said to him, and to think I trusted you, you mean man.
Did she really?
You man.
913-586-7798. News coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana Parks. That guy's Kramer. She's Dana. My name's Scott on KMBZ.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.